He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Last words. The last words someone speaks can have almost a mystical quality about them, depending on the way they are shared. George Washington, Martin Luther, and other historical figures known to be on their deathbeds had dutiful scribes assigned to record everything they said from a chosen moment until death, so that we all might be sure what their last words were. I have had a frequent experience during funeral planning or in conversation with those reminiscing later about a loved one that last words were remembered and shared as valued treasures. Clearly, last words are considered important. Often in Maundy Thursday sermons, you will hear emphasized that the institution of the Lord's Supper is almost the last will and testament of Jesus offered on the night before he died. Yet Jesus would rise again to share many more words with his disciples before ascending to heaven's throne in glory. I think it's purposeful and profound that you and I can't really make a definitive statement from the Scriptures as to which exactly are the last words of Jesus. The best we can offer anyone conclusively when referring to this section of Luke, or the sections that end other Gospels, or from the first chapter of the Acts of the Apostles is, these are among the last words of Christ, likely spoken the same day he ascended. The reason I think that to be purposeful and profound is that Jesus always seemed to want his hearers focused far more on what he was saying and why, rather than on the when he was saying it. I'm not saying the when isn't important, but it clearly wasn't anywhere near as important to Jesus as the what and the why. And so this evening, for a moment, I would like us to focus on words from the last chapter of the Gospel of Luke. They are not even the last words of Jesus recorded speaking here, but they are almost the last, and they appear to be words Jesus spoke consistently many times to his apostles. "Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." How many times had Jesus repeated this for them? We know he did point it out during moments when prophecies were being fulfilled in his life and ministry. We know he prophesied about his own arrest, suffering, death, and resurrection. We know he opened the Scriptures to them regularly for them to see for themselves how the pieces of God's saving plan only fit perfectly together in his life and in his ministry. There was no need to look beyond Jesus for any other prophet, other Messiah, or other Savior. The festival of the Ascension is the perfect place to stop for a moment and contemplate the big picture, the historical picture, the eternal picture, the full plan of God to save his human creation. In essence, Jesus does exactly that right here before he ascends. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the Scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are my witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Jesus knew each one of them would benefit from one more aha moment to finish off the 40 days of post-resurrection instruction he had been offering them. What about you and me? We've taken another annual journey with Christ from the crib of Bethlehem to the cross of Calvary to Joseph's garden and the empty tomb. This year's journey has certainly been different and memorable in ways we hope are never repeated. And yet, here we are at another Ascension Day. We are gathered to hear the word, to offer our prayers and to sing our praise to the God-man King on the annual remembrance of his return to the throne of heaven, wearing his human flesh, but also wearing his victory scars and wearing his fully reclaimed glory, power, wisdom, and honor. Does the day and the event at the center of the day not plead for our concentration to be on the bigger themes, the bigger picture of how this day is truly the culmination of everything history had been about up to that moment, and then all history has been about since that moment, so that you and I and Christians the world over would have this moment, this evening, to strengthen our faith and to deepen our reliance on the one eternal Savior who came and did exactly what the world was told he would do, in exactly the way he did, to fulfill all righteousness at the same time he fulfilled all prophecy. Most people, even the majority of Christians, don't have this day, this event, the ascension of the Lord on their radar. Yet this is a day that holds so many answers to so many questions and concerns and fears we all wrestle with. Where is Jesus now? Back in heaven, right where the word said he would go. What is he doing there? Ruling over all things for the good of his eternal church, his family of believers, just like the word said he would. How did he earn the right to rule as king over all humanity and all creation today and forever? By entering our human dimension through the womb of a woman and living a fully human life. By experiencing hunger, thirst, pain, sorrow, temptation, and trial of every kind and of the worst kind. By offering his innocent body and life to the ugliest progression of persecution, abuse, abandonment, and bloody death this world has ever seen. By triumphantly rising from his borrowed grave on the third day after his death, to prove he was both innocent and holy, as well as God in human flesh all along. All of this, just as it was written about him in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. All of which the New Testament offers plenty of specific testimony as to when a specific prophecy was being fulfilled in the life and the ministry of Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus did not stop reminding his apostles of these basic foundational truths of Scripture and Christianity over and over and over again throughout his time with them, right up to the moment he literally floated away back to heaven. That is what he wanted them focused on. That is what he wanted their hearts and minds to trust as the only source to find all the answers while they waited for his return. What is written? What must be fulfilled? When you and I pursue in our moments of need, challenge, sorrow, and solace, the answers the Scriptures hold to the eternal questions tormenting us in such moments with this pattern. What is written? What must be fulfilled? We will find the answers Jesus intends to use to grow our faith, to build our trust and assure us that He sees, He knows, He cares, and He has a plan for every last unhappy reality of every one of our lives. He promises that we are experiencing any and all of it for the very best of eternal outcomes, life in heaven with Him. There is not a single moment of our lives that Jesus' answer to us is not the same that He offered His closest brothers and friends here in these verses during His last hours and moments with them. At their core, His instruction is so simple. Back to the Word. Explore everything My Holy Spirit directed each of My chosen vessels to write or say over centuries of time. Explore everything My Spirit has made sure to be recorded as My Word, and you will have everything you need to know about Me, your Savior, and everything you need to know about the moment in which you live and struggle. You will better understand how everything written must be fulfilled. Our human nature struggles so with that. We desire other answers, more answers. But here, at the end of His time on earth, among the last things Jesus spoke, He re-emphasized His repeating theme that resounds through the hundreds of pages of His timeless Word. Find your answers right here, in the Law, in the Prophets, in the Psalms, in the Gospels, in the Epistles, in every inspired word I have caused to be recorded for you. He states that with a purpose, so that you might know your Lord and Savior, your brother and your God, your King and your friend, who sits now and reigns on heaven's throne. He wants you to know Him as He wishes to be known, without any doubt, without any uncertainty, that you might offer your prayers to Him, live for Him, confess Him, praise Him, and always completely trust your mighty, compassionate, eternal, ascended Lord. Amen.